Our reading this morning is from Psalm 115, verses 1 to 18. You'll find this on page 510 of the Pew Bibles. This is God's word for us. Not to us, O Lord, not to us, but to your name give glory, for the sake of your steadfast love and your faithfulness. Why should the nations say, "Where is their God?" Our God is in the heavens. He does all that he pleases. Their idols are silver and gold, the work of human hands. They have mouths, but do not speak, eyes, but do not see. They have ears, but do not hear, noses, but do not smell. They have hands, but do not feel, feet, but do not walk, and they do not make a sound in their throat. Those who make them become like them, so do all who trust in them. O Israel, trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. O house of Aaron, trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. You who fear the Lord, trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. The Lord has remembered us. He will bless us. He will bless the house of Israel. He will bless the house of Aaron. He will bless those who fear the Lord, both the small and the great. May the Lord give you increase, you and your children. May you be blessed by the Lord who made heaven and earth. The heavens are the Lord's heavens, but the earth he has given to the children of man. The dead do not praise the Lord, nor do any who go down into silence. But we will bless the Lord from this time forth and forevermore. Praise the Lord.
Let's share our prayer together. Heavenly Father, we humbly bow in your presence. May your word be our rule, your spirit our teacher, and your great glory our supreme concern. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. For some of us, asking for help is just about the hardest thing we ever have to do. It's quite sad, really. I think we all like when someone else asks us to help them. We recognize that we feel good if we're able to offer help to someone. But when it comes to our turn, somehow we are slow to ask others to help and give them the opportunity to be those helping. That hymn we've just sung gets right to this point in its very first verse. The object of the hymn is that those who are singing, those who are living as children of God, are to sing about the everlasting love of God, to sing of his praise and his glory and through the verses what he has done for us. That's the object of the hymn. This is what we are to do. But the first line recognizes that we need help. Assist me here, my God and King. Help me in this, because without your help, I can't do it. However we express it, as disciples of Jesus, we have within us this desire to praise him, to honor God, to glorify him, to trust him, to bless God and be blessed by him. But how are we going to do that? The hymn directs us that the first thing we must do is ask for God's help. The God we want to praise is the one we ask us to help praise him. And God does help us. God does help us. He gives us Psalm 115, for example, a psalm which will help us sing our hallelujah. The last word in that hymn we just sung and the last word in Psalm 115, both the same. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. The God we worship, the God who helps us, he is the only God there is. The only one who is worthy of our praise. In verses 4 to 7, the psalmist highlights the emptiness of idols. Anyone or anything else that might claim the name or position of God is not worthy of that name and is empty. They might have eyes, but they can't see, the psalmist writes. They might have ears, but they can't hear us when we call for help. They might have carved hands, but they're not able to reach them out and take hold of ours. They might have leaden feet, but they're so leaden they can't run towards us to catch us up in love and grace. During the last week, a player or a commentator described a rugby coach as godlike. I'm sure he might be a good and successful rugby coach, but I'm prepared to guarantee he's not godlike. All these false gods, all these worthless idols. Turns out they've all been made to look like us. We have created God in our likeness. But there's really a dangerous warning in the psalm in verse 8. Those who make these idols, these worthless gods, become like them. So do all who trust them. Did you know you become like what you worship? Worship shapes our whole being. If you worship dead idols, you become dead. If you worship possessions which waste away by tomorrow, you too will waste away. Thank God that he is a God we can praise, a God we can worship. Not to us, O Lord, not to us, but to your name be the glory for the sake of your steadfast love and your faithfulness. We give glory to our God because he has previously already shown us steadfast love and faithfulness. The love which God has for you is not a love which is going to decrease and diminish over time. It's not a love which eventually will take you for granted. It is a love which will grow stronger, be steadfast and renewed day by day. The faithfulness of God is a commitment which God makes to everything he has said. All that God has said for you, on your behalf, he commits himself to achieving, to bringing into being. God has spoken of his purposes of grace and salvation for you. And in Jesus, God has fully achieved everything he said. He has been faithful. And so every time the godless ones challenge us, where is your God? We don't need some cosmological proof from science bending reality. All we need to do is say, well, here's the God who loves me. And here's how I know his love. Here's the God who has been faithful. This is what he's promised me. And look, he's done it. That's who our God is. Our God is making his love real in our lives. Our God is keeping all his promises. Our God is at work to show grace and mercy. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. The word trust takes us into verses 9 to 11. At the end of verse 8, those who trust in empty idols become like them. Then in verse 9 to 11, we read of the people of God encouraged to trust the Lord. Not to trust in worthless idols, but to trust the one living and true God. We are able to trust in the Lord because we've tried it before. and we've found that it works. The trustworthy Lord is a help and a shield. There are any number of difficulties we face during our lives. If we were to make a list of that, it would be a big list. Times of ill health. Times when we've lain awake at night worrying about our family. Those bumps on the road which, if they only came one at a time, we might just be able to cope, but they always come in threes and fours. If we allow him, the Lord wants to help us in all these circumstances. If we turned back to Psalm 40, the psalmist there sings of the Lord lifting him out of a deep pit. His testimony to the trustworthy Lord is not that God stopped him falling into the pit, but rather that once he was in it, God helped him out. There was a man who fell into a deep hole and he couldn't find his way out. And a friend was passing by, and the friend looked down into the hole, and the man looked up and he shouted, "Help, can you help me?" And the friend from the top jumped into the hole. And the guy at the bottom said, "What are you doing?" And he took his hand and he said, "I've been down here before, and I know the way out." In Jesus, God has jumped into the pit with us. In Jesus, God has come to take hold of our hand in every circumstance and say, "I've been down here before, I know the way." When Jesus jumps into the hole, it's not just that Jesus knows the way out, Jesus is the way out. If we trust him, if we let God take us by the hand, our testimony will be that God has helped us. Sometimes the difficulties in life don't wait for us to fall into them. They come charging towards us. When these enemies come rushing in, then God is our shield. The temptation to sin is always present. To complain and to grump, to gossip, to be unhelpful, to be greedy and selfish, to be unkind. If we allow the Lord, he himself will be a shield to protect us from the attack of such temptations. The enemy is like a hungry lion longing to devour us. The Lord says, "I'll protect you. I protected Daniel from the lions. Don't you think I can protect you from your enemies?" Jesus said, "I shall lose none of all that the Father has given me." Here's a word to trust. The surrounding arms of Jesus are a shield to protect us and keep us safe. The strong hands of Jesus are a stronghold into which we can trust ourselves and be kept safe, and he won't let us go. When each day we pray, "Lead me not into temptation," it turns out we're praying Psalm 115. "I want to trust you, Lord. Be my help and my shield. I can't do it by myself, but I know someone who can. And he loves me, and he's faithful to me, and I'm going to trust him." Praise the Lord. Yes, praise the Lord, because he is the one who blesses all of his children. Remember that story of Jacob who had all those sons, 12 of them? And how out of the 12, Jacob loved Joseph more than the other 11? And he gave him that special coat. In this, God is not at all like Jacob. He doesn't have favorites among his children. He loves us all the same. All those titles in these verses, House of Israel, House of Aaron, those who fear the Lord, what it means is not one of the children of God is excluded. Not you, not me. None of us. God wants to bless all of us. Jacob's grandfather, Abraham, was called by the Lord to go into Canaan. The Lord gave Abraham promises of blessing. I will bless you, and through you, I will bless all the nations of the earth. Blessing is adoring. We bless God and we adore him. And yes, as we are blessed by God, we use the same word. God adores you. God smiles when he sees you. God is delighted when you are in his presence. Blessing is endowing with good, gifting good things. The good that we bless God with is our worship, our obedience, and our service. The good God blesses us with is this wonderful creation which we are able to live in and share together. Food to eat, friends and family, days of stability with an absence of conflict. The Lord blesses us with new life in Jesus. God is the giver of blessing. But as with all gifts, this gift of blessing has to be received. We need to unwrap it, and then we need to use it. Wonder when the last time was you tidied out the kitchen cupboard and you found in the back a box and you wondered what was in it and you opened it up and here was some smallish kitchen appliance which somebody gave you as a gift 5 years ago, 10 years ago. Any advance in 10 years for the back of the cupboard? As new, mint in box, sitting at the back. Somebody thought you would find it useful, but you've never touched it. Never plugged it in. Too many of us do that with God's gifts. He gives us gifts and we put them away and we never touch them and we never use them. God's gifts are for using today to strengthen our life as we journey along with him. The blessing God gives you today won't last until tomorrow. It's going to run out today. That's why he gives us new blessing tomorrow, a new blessing the day after that, a new blessing every day till Jesus comes again. You need to use up the gift that God gives you today, trusting that he will bless us again tomorrow and the next day and the next day. God desires to bless you. We need to learn how to trust him for this, to celebrate his blessing. As we use it and share it among us, praise the Lord. In verses 14 to 18 at the end of the psalm, we see that our blessing God and our praising God are both kind of similar. They're set in lines parallel to one another. Psalm 8 tells us that God has ordained, he has established, he has caused to arise praise from the lips of infants and children. Praise of God is the language of heaven. Giving God honor and glory, acknowledging him as God, declaring his love and faithfulness in our whole lives, in all that we are and all that we do. We have at times been tempted to limit our thinking about praising to singing hymns together only. Let's praise God, we sometimes say. And we mean by that, let's sing a hymn together. It is. That is praise. Doesn't matter whether you're a good singer or not. You can join in and praise the Lord. Doesn't matter whether you like organs or pianos. The gift of praise, the new song that God gives us to sing, is given so that we might praise God and celebrate his glory. But you see, that's only a wee bit. There's more and more and more to praising and blessing God than just singing hymns. Praise the Lord by being kind and generous as you serve your neighbor and love them. You're praising God. Praise the Lord in serving at the food bank, making the tea after the service on a Sunday. serving in one of our working teams. I wonder how many times our working teams meet and we think, great, this is us. We get to praise the Lord in our meeting together. Praise the Lord in taking time to talk with a neighbor, to encourage and support one another. Imagine if we thought about every conversation we had as an opportunity to praise God, to encourage someone else. Praise the Lord with every breath, every thought, every touch of a hand, our whole life lived for the glory of God. Not to us, O Lord, not to us, but to your name be the glory. We are the people God has created to praise him. We are the people God has created to trust him. We are the people God has created so that he might pour his blessing upon us, and we might be blessed by him. He is the Lord who calls us to this life, and he promises to help us live it. His strengthening spirit at work within us, that we might trust him and bless him and praise him. Our whole lives live together in the service and praise of our wonderful God, giving glory to him. Let's pray together. Not to us, O Lord, not to us. We don't want to be glorified before you or even alongside you, for all the glory and praise should be yours. You're the God who is worthy to receive from all of our lives honor and blessing and praise. Help us. Help us to live lives like that, which have been given over to praising you. May all our words, all our thoughts, all our deeds glorify your name. Hear our prayer, for we ask it through Jesus our Savior. Amen.